Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempest Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. You know, Lord, I want to say something about worship this morning, you know, because it's so important that we recognize that God has created us as creatures of emotion. And I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with us showing emotion when we worship God. In fact, God wants that. The scripture is full of admonition. Especially David would admonish people to clap and to shout and to play and dance. Hallelujah. I've been in those liturgical churches that are afraid to raise their hands. With somebody smile, they might get reprimanded. I prefer spiritual calisthenics. Amen. I want us to show some emotion when we worship our God. Let me read to you from Psalms. See if I got the right one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Does that sound like a people that's willing to show some emotion in their worship? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, our children were up here, they were worshiping, and we are encouraging them to shout and dance and raise their hands. What is different about us as adults? I want to tell you something. There's probably no one in this room more conservative than I am. I'm not a dancer. I've never been. When it came to worshiping God, I had to learn to worship God. I had to learn to raise my hands, clap my hands, and shout. I'm still working on the dance thing. Praise God. But I want you to know, we can all learn to worship our God with our emotions as well as our actions. And God is pleased. It's a sweet aroma that rises up to our Heavenly Father when we worship Him like that. Glory to God. I'm glad to be a part of a church where people are not afraid to show that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory.
I sense that the Lord desires.
Hallelujah. Just want to figure out how to proceed with this. Ivy feels like God wants to work on some people's emotions. Balance those emotions. Help you to understand how God has created you. Sometimes our emotions have been very fragile throughout our life, and they've been we've been hindered. Reason some people are afraid to show emotion. So I think right now what God wants to do, I'm just going to ask everyone to please just raise your hand. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're asking this morning that your Spirit would just move among the people here in this place. Stir our hearts, Lord God. If there are those who need some touch a supernatural touch, the glory of God to come into their life right now, Father God. We just release that in the name of Jesus Christ. We proclaim your goodness, Father God, touching people's hearts, touching their emotions, healing whatever area, Father God. People are thinking about things that have happened to them in the past right now. But Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus was there and Jesus is there now. The Lord is ministering life and touching emotions and healing your people, Father God. Bring that balance that is necessary in our life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, Bible school is over. Most of you would say amen, huh? It was a long week for most of you. But praise God, I appreciate everyone who helps when we have things like Bible school and different outreach and just a part of what God is doing here in our community. And also, we just want to say praise God for that offering. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. We've had some people in our congregation that have had to deal with treatment for cancer. And they've told me that, you know, even if you have good insurance, that, yeah, that takes care of the hospital bills, the doctor bills, but there's other expenses, you know, food and housing and stuff. If you have to go to Columbus or Cleveland or wherever you might have to go, there's expenses. So that will be a tremendous help for that family. So praise God. It's exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, glory. This is the last message on the wonderful names of God. I hope you've enjoyed this message. If you'd like, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 5 and 6, and we're going to read that this morning to get started. And throughout this teaching, we have come to a realization of the character of our God. And this particular teaching, it will be really an elementary Bible teaching. It'll be Christianity 101. But there's nothing wrong with that. Many times we need to go back and look at our roots and our foundation and recognize what God has done for us through our Savior Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to be looking at the name of Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we're going to be reading from Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justly and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Of course, Jehovah is, or Yahweh, is the personal name of God in the Old Testament. And when it's connected with this word Tsidkenu, which means righteousness, together the two names would be the Lord my righteousness or the Lord our righteousness. Most Bible scholars believe what we just read in Jeremiah is referring to the Messiah. And we all know who the Messiah is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe they're very, very right about that. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 confirms that along with many other scriptures. But Romans 10, 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law came to an end because Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law, to complete it. So he is the fulfillment and he is our righteousness. So what does Jesus' righteousness mean to us? Why is it important that we know that Jesus is Yahweh Tsidkenu? Well, I want to go through this. I want to show you four different things in regards to righteousness. Number one, the number one point I want to make this morning is we have no righteousness of our own. And it's very important that we recognize you're not going to earn anything from God. Jesus did it all for us. All righteousness is from Almighty God. A third grade teacher noticed that one of her students was wearing a Fitbit watch. You know, one of those watches where you track your steps? And she asked her student, a third grader, "Are you tracking your steps?" And she said, "Oh, no," the little girl said. "I wear this for Mommy so she can show Daddy when he gets home." I can hear this woman just telling her husband, "I don't know why I'm not losing weight. You saw all the steps that I took this month." You know, we can all be a little hypocritical at times. We try. I believe that everybody in this room has a good heart, and we're trying our best to serve the Lord. But we're going to fall short. We just will, because we're human. But praise God, we don't have to rely on us. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is no righteousness. No one. There is none righteous. No, not one." The Hebrew word there means, or the Greek word means righteous, observing divine and human laws, or who is such as he ought to be. Someone who should be exactly what he claims to be. Now, I've heard over the years many Bible scholars say the easiest way to remember righteousness is right standing with God, because that's what it is. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not a one of us is going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, "I earned this righteousness." We all fall short of it. Even in the Old Testament, it says, Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." And then 1 John 1:10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Wow. Anyone who feels like they're self-righteous, you're making God a liar. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that we are like the New Testament people who accused the Apostle Paul of saying we should do evil to glorify God. That's not at all what the Scripture or any of these Scriptures are telling us. The Word of God is telling us that no matter how hard we try, and we should try, we want to try. We want to please our God, our Father. When I was growing up, one of the greatest things I could do was please my daddy. I felt good about pleasing my daddy. And when he would say, "Well done, son," that made me feel good. And I still feel that way in regards to my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I want him to be pleased with my actions. And yet, I know time after time after time, I fall short. How many believe that you sin at least once a day? I got two hands up, okay? I don't think there's anyone in here that didn't raise their hand, or at least nodded. Then guess what? You've fallen short of the glory of God, because you're not perfect. What does it mean? It means you're never going to be able to stand in the presence of God. in and of yourself. And I think everyone in here, I don't think you would be here this morning if your goal wasn't to stand in the presence of God someday. You know, why would you waste your time going to church if that wasn't your goal? To learn so that you can understand how to stand one day in the presence of Almighty God. That's what we all want. But there's too many people that don't understand the importance of righteousness in regards to their eternal destiny. There's so many people out there who think that they can do more good than bad, and one day that good's all going to balance out, that God, they're going to stand before God and He's going to have scales and He's going to put their good versus their evil. And the good's going to balance, going to weight down the evil, but it will not. Because sometimes we sin and we don't even realize that we're not standing in the good graces of our God. If you want to end up in the right place, standing in the presence of Almighty God, you got to make sure that you're headed in the right direction, that you're on the right path. Yogi Berra was an American professional baseball catcher who later took on the role of manager. Head coach. He was also famous for his quirky sayings, his philosophies. And he said this, "If you don't know where you're going, you will wind up somewhere else." What is he saying? I guess it's true. We're going to wind up someplace for sure. But if you don't know where you're going spiritually, I can tell you where you're going to wind up. I don't want it to happen to anybody. But you're not going to stand in the presence of God. You've got to know. You've got to be assured that you know where you're going and where you're going to end up. But these vessels that we have, they can't earn that salvation. They can't do enough good. I heard a story about a family and couple of families were going camping. And let me try to put this in personally. Let's say we were going camping, myself and Otis and Ivy. And along the way, we forgot to bring a water container. So along the way, I saw a container along the road, big enough for the water that we needed. I got out, I picked it up. It had a skull and bones on it, and it said poison, but there was just a little bit of poison in it. So I poured it out, and I took it camping with us. And when I got there, they had pure, clean, clear water. I rinsed it out a little bit and filled it up with water. Otis, would you drink that water? No, of course not. The container's contaminated. We are container. It's contaminated. But don't lose hope. We do have hope.
Yes,
amen. Number two, it's impossible for us to achieve righteousness by our own efforts. Even those things that we think are righteous about ourselves are, according to Scripture, like soiled rags. Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags." Now, I'm not going to go into any detail about that, but think of the worst filthy rag that you can think of. And that's what your righteousness is like to God. Filthy. He wants nothing to do with it. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Iniquities is perversity, depravity, evil. Job said this in Job 15:14-16. "What is man that he could be pure, and he who is born of a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less then man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water?" That's a pretty terrible description of mankind. And yet, our God loves us. Even though we're a contaminated container, our God loves us so much. In 1505, when he was 21 years old, Martin Luther abandoned a promising career in law and entered a monastery seeking a relationship with God. He was an exemplary monk. He did everything and above and beyond what was expected of him. Later, he wrote to the Duke of Saxony, "I was indeed a pious monk and followed the rules of my order more strictly than I can express. If ever a monk could obtain heaven by his monkery, I would certainly have been entitled to it." And yet, Martin Luther found no peace through these external exercises to try to find God or try to get to God. The crazy things that they expected, fasting constantly, flagellating, where they would beat themselves with whips and bleed all over the place, and all kinds of nonsense, religious order, trying to find a relationship with God, to beat ourselves down to the point that we feel like a worm. That's not what the Scripture says about us. We're the apple of God's eye. He loves us so much. Luther came to the realization that righteousness cannot be obtained by his own efforts. And it set him and millions of other people free. Number three, Jesus Christ is our only hope. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Hallelujah. There's the answer for us. We become, we are not, but we become the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21 through 24, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I already shared that one with you. "Being justified freely, just as if you've never sinned." That's what justified means. "Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Our righteousness is sealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Acts 10:43, "To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin." Our sins are remitted. Our sins are blotted out. Our sins are wiped away because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's very simple. Romans 10:9, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Jesus told Thomas this when he asked about the way. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is really that simple. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. One of the difficulties that missionaries have in communicating good news of Jesus Christ and to other people of other languages, of course, is language barriers. This proved to be exceptionally difficult with the Chinese people. But one day, there was a breakthrough by the missionaries. He was studying a particular Chinese ideograph or graphic symbol, the one which means righteous. And he noticed that it contained an upper and lower part. The upper part was simply the Chinese symbol for a lamb. Directly under it was simply a second symbol, the first person pronoun, I or me. Suddenly, it dawned on that missionary, and he discerned that coded within this message was the answer that they'd been looking for. I, under the Lamb, am righteous. He started teaching the Chinese people. And they had never noticed it before, but when he started showing it to them, a light bulb came on, and they realized, I, under the Lamb, am righteous. So the next question was, which Lamb should we be under? And gloriously, he got to share with them John 1:29, which is a description of John about Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I, under the Lamb, am righteous. That's God's solution to mankind's sin problem. Today, being under the blood of the Lamb makes us righteous. If you've never been under the blood of the Lamb, if you've never truly accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today is a good day to do that.
That's right.
It's an opportunity. Because I want to share with you the last thing, and that is righteousness is a free gift. God offers righteousness to us freely. Romans 5:17. And 18, for by the one man offense, death reigned through the one, which he's talking about Adam. Much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one's man righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. All who come to the Lord Jesus Christ become righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, there are many crucial Bible beliefs that are under assault today. And one of these beliefs is the conviction that Christ died as our substitute on the cross. There are many liberal Bible scholars who are trying to explain all this away. But the reality of the Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, became our substitute. Died in our place. And because He died in our place and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, we are the righteousness of God. And it's offered to us as a free gift. A free gift from the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. All we have to do is accept it. If Farmers Bank was handing out free $100 bills, would you go get one? Most of us, if we heard that, most of us probably couldn't wait to get out these doors, get up there and get a $100 bill. But you know what? You had to go claim that $100 bill. You have to go get it. You couldn't just say, well, I believe in $100 bills. Now, how many times I've heard that? Oh, I believe in Jesus, but does He live in your heart? That's what I want to know. You can believe in a lot of things. And you couldn't just say, well, my mom got a $100 bill. Because it wouldn't do you any good. You got to have it yourself. And if you don't claim it now, I'm going to tell you, and you know I'm talking about salvation, you may never, ever have the opportunity again. I'm one that believes that Salvation comes through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And He doesn't always. You can't just come to Christ anytime you want. You have to have the conviction of the Spirit of God upon you. And you have to answer that call when He convicts you. When that free gift is offered, take advantage of it. Because today is the day of salvation. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thankful to be able to give a salvation message. I don't do that often. We do have altar calls, and we do have expectations of people receiving Christ as their personal Savior. But I don't often talk about just the basic foundational truths of the Word of God. We get a lot of other teachings and things that are truths from the Bible. But sometimes we just have to go back, take a step back and say, hey, this is important. So this morning, there may be someone in here that has never made that commitment to Christ. And if that's the case, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. But you have to respond to it. Can't run from it. Can't say, well, you know, I'll get it later. Because today is the day of salvation. I'm going to ask everyone, just bow your head. Is there anyone in here that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Hallelujah. If you do, just raise your hand. I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Don't miss this opportunity. Maybe you've known about Jesus a long time, most of your life. But have you really made Him Lord and Savior of your life? I want that to happen today for you. Is there anyone? Okay. Well, let's do the next thing that we always do in evangelical churches. Is there anyone who would like to renew their relationship with the Lord? You just feel like you need something more than you've been experiencing lately. You know what it is to have Christ as your Savior, but there's just something missing right now. Is there anyone in here that'd like that? Because we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. We have one? Glory. Is there anyone else? All right. Hallelujah. Got others? All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you'd like to come up, I'll pray for you this morning. Just come up. Praise the Lord. Glory. Listen. It's not something to be ashamed of. Because we all go through those times in our life. But we just need to hear from God. You know, we're crying out, God, renew my spirit. Stir me. I want to feel. It's every week talking about these emotions again. I want to feel your presence. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone in here to just pray with me as I pray for these people. Father God, I just thank you for Tina. Lord, I know that she loves you. She serves you. But Father, she's asking that you just stir her heart. Lord, glory. Allow her to stir up that spirit inside of her each and every day. Your goodness, Lord, and your power released in her life. Thank you for renewing her spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. It's been a good day. Going to have a, looks like a beautiful day to just relax and enjoy life. Praise the Lord all day long. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you. As we leave this place, we give you glory and honor, Father. You're an awesome and mighty God. Touch our hearts as we go from this place. Give us opportunity to speak into other people's lives. For we are truly missionaries for you wherever we go. We want your name to be lifted up. We want people to know that you are an awesome and mighty God. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.